WDKU 88.5 FM. I'm Mary Margaret Baker, NP, and this is the Nurse Practitioner Show on health, wellness, and managing your disease. Today, last week I announced I would have Peter Kafka with us talking about prostate cancer and men's health. However, he had a family emergency, and we have had a wonderful substitute, Rita Massey, who's with us today, and we're going to be talking again about cancer recovery empowerment. These are things that are so important for people to hear. And so, Rita, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Nice and loud so people can hear you. And so Rita has a story in how she empowered and healed herself from a fourth degree cancer, stage four degree of cancer, breast cancer. And so she, when did all this happen? How many years ago?
I got my diagnosis first in November of 1996, and the whole process went on for about 12 years.
Wow, 96.
Yeah, and in early 2009, or I would say that by mid-2009, when I had a PET scan that showed that I was clear for the first time.
Okay. So you had, this started in 1996 with your diagnosis.
Yes.
And then you got treatment. How did that, first let's start when you heard the diagnosis. Was it at Kaiser? Where did you have your medical care in San Diego?
Well, it was at the surgeon's office.
Okay, so you had a private physician.
Yes.
Okay, and you found the lump?
I had found the lump, and I had that, had a
mammography?
Yeah, and I ended up having to get it taken out, and it was obvious to him it was cancer, although it was, he did send off to be, to get the biopsy.
Which, of course, you always want to happen. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was in 1996, and that was your first diagnosis. How did it feel? Because, you know, people get so shocked.
Exactly. It was totally shocking. It's like the deer being caught in the headlights. Just freeze.
Freeze, yep.
And just in a state of overwhelm. And I had to really, it's really a mental game is what I've learned more and more over the years. And I was really glad that I was aware pretty much in the beginning. I had to get on top of my mental game about it. And so I did start asking questions and looking at going, I'm only 39 years old and I've got a pretty strong, healthy body in most ways, most places. I should be able to fight this.
Yes. So. I don't think people have that necessarily, have that positive, you know, attitude about it.
Well,
do you think?
Right.
That's what defeats them, really, because it's attitude and gratitude, I think.
Absolutely.
That's how I kind of phrase it. And it sounds like you started out with being shocked. And then how long did it take you into moving into discovering the six keys that you later identified for recovery?
That was only when I really took the time to look at it.
So it was later.
Much later. It was only like last year.
Oh, okay. So
that I really looked back and go, this seems to be what made it happen. This was what made it work.
Okay. So now you've heard the diagnosis. You're in a state of shock. Then what happened? You were a mom. You had a son.
I were
39 years old.
Yeah, with a teenage son. And I felt like a lot of life ahead of me, and I didn't want to give that up. So I just made up my mind that death was not an option.
Okay. See, what I think that's really critical, that you made your mind up that you were going to fight it, you were going to put yourself first, you were going to do self-care and motivate yourself to a different position in your mind.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so then what?
Well, I started to ask questions.
Okay, questions, good.
And I sort of like these questions are to like the greater reality, you might say, rather than just trying to muddle around in my mind what I'd want to do. So
it was not a matter of, at that point, of medical questions, or did you go through all that as well?
Well, that's part of it, too.
That's part of it.
That's absolutely part of it, and I think most people know that. And it's good to know. get yourself as informed as you can. One of the challenges is that you get so much information all at once, it's hard to sort through it all. And plus, then you have everybody around you who's going through their own reactions and trying to tell you what to do and what not to do. And I had to kind of like put my blinders on and go, what's right for me?
Right.
And really tune into what's right for me.
So you went within to your intuitive voice, it sounds like.
Yes.
And really meditated or...
Yes,
and
meditated.
Asked yourself questions and then kind of to see what emerged as the answers.
Yes, and I want to tell you one of the first answers that came, I was asking the questions, what do I need to do? What's my next step? What's going to help me heal? And one of the first answers came was on a phone conversation with somebody who this was somebody that I got connected with because they were also a cancer survivor. And I had this one phone conversation with this woman. I haven't talked with her since.
Okay, but that was
a fabulous
turning point.
Yes.
A very important turning point.
Because the story she had to tell me was so powerful. There was this lady on the East Coast, excuse me, who had like very late stage cancer, and she was pretty much dying.
Oh, dear, yeah.
And she managed to get to a workshop led by Carolyn Mace. If you know who she is, she's a renowned medical intuitive.
Carolyn Mace.
Author, best-selling author. She's written a number of books about mind-body connection and healing, all of this stuff. So this woman really felt compelled to go to this workshop. And she was there, and she had to be pretty much on like a gurney or a bed.
Oh, boy. So she was pretty debilitated.
Very debilitated.
Yeah.
And Carolyn Mace led this exercise on forgiveness. And when that exercise was done, so exercise and process, when that was done, this lady stood up from the bed and said, thank you very much, and walked out the door. And the next time Carolyn Mace was in town, this woman picked her up at the airport.
Okay, now spell Carolyn with a C, K-A-R-O-L-Y-N-M-A-S-E.
It's actually spelled like Caroline.
Caroline,
but
okay.
But she pronounces it Carolyn.
Okay, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E.
And Mace is M-Y-S-S.
Okay, Mace. So it's a different spelling than you would think. So if anybody out there is trying to look up any of her writings or her shows, maybe YouTube or whatever, that's, you've got to spell her name correctly. So
yes.
That's good. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of her myself. So
yeah.
That's good. That's a mm-hmm. good thing. So you heard about the story.
Yes.
And?
It hit home with me the power of...
Oh, mind over matter.
Mind over matter and the importance of forgiveness.
Oh, that's
a
real
that
tough nut, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a piece I knew I had to work on.
Okay.
You had
the courage to admit that to yourself.
Yeah. Well, I was very well aware there were some things that I had been carrying for a long time, all my life, since childhood, and
uh-huh.
I needed to address those things.
Yes.
So I knew I had my work cut out for me.
Okay.
And the next thing I did was examine my mind a little bit and what was running through it, and it's like, oh, my God, no wonder I'm sick.
See,
just
yeah.
a lot of negativity going through my mind.
Okay, now how old was your son at that point, 14?
He was, he was about 16.
Okay, so he was in the throes of adolescence.
15, 16, yeah, 15
yeah.
actually, yeah.
Okay, in the throes of adolescence,
yeah.
which can be a very difficult time for parents.
Yes.
You know, especially single parents.
Yes.
With it, boy or girl.
And I was newly
single. And teenagers,
single,
yeah.
Because I was newly separated from my husband. And I know it was hard on my son, too, and the whole breakup was really hard on him, too.
And so those
yeah.
are social circumstances that can impact one's attitude, gratitude, and health.
Yes.
A big way.
Yes.
So, you know, coming to grips with knowing that about yourself and knowing, asking those questions. What other questions did you ask?
A lot of it then was focused on...
The healing.
The healing.
Forgiveness.
And what my body required.
Such
in
as?
In order to heal. as far as nutrition. Especially nutrition, as far as any kind of treatment. And I was very lucky to find an oncologist that I felt very comfortable with to work with. And what I had was a very, what they say, call it cancer indolent, which means it's very slow growing. So he wasn't recommending aggressive treatment, even though I knew I was like not really interested in going there.
Yes.
But he was very good at sharing with me whatever resources he had. And he was open to the alternative stuff as well. It's like, okay, we're going to follow and see whatever you do. We're going to see what's working and what's not working.
Wow. That's a pretty open-minded. You know, all physicians aren't that open-minded.
Right.
I think, as you know. So that to have found that particular oncologist who has a strong medical background, of course, and a subspecialty, and then be open to alternative therapies.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a really amazing, amazing thing. And I think more likely to be able to find this in San Diego, there seems to be a lot of bridging between allopathic and alternative treatments.
Yes, I actually, when I was in San Diego, I don't know if we mentioned already, that's really where I'm from and where I went through my whole cancer experience. I actually was volunteering for a while at a cancer center that had an integrative health program.
Ah, okay.
I was doing massage therapy for them. So it was not the same center that my oncologist
was at. Yeah.
But it was one of his proteges.
Okay. Well, great. So that was really fortuitous that did you immediately go to the surgeon or did you go to a family practice clinician, primary care?
I basically went to the surgeon.
Okay. So you found out a surgeon that you wanted to work with, which I think is really another key and point. Not one of the six keys, but important for people to find a clinician they feel comfortable with that they can ask questions, who is willing to answer questions.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's really important for people out there. You know, even if you already have a cancer diagnosis, you know, second opinions are A-okay.
Absolutely.
You know, we get a second opinion about our car, right? They say you have $5,000 worth of damage or your engine needs to be replaced. You know, we go somewhere else and get a second opinion. But what I've found over time, a lot of times, patients are reluctant to get a second opinion. And so that's the other thing I really encourage people is think advocacy for you.
Absolutely.
And getting a second opinion.
Get your second opinion. Shop around. You want to work with people you can trust, that you feel they have your back, that they get you.
Who you are and what's important
person.
To you.
Yeah. You are a person, not just another patient, you know, another file, you know?
Right. Another little file. Okay, who's here now? Oh, Miss Jones. And go from there. Yeah.
Right.
Someone who sees you as an individual and understands your perspective. And what your needs are, which may be different than someone else's needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So then you looked within, you asked yourself questions, you had to start doing forgiveness. And that's where the gratitude and your attitude comes up.
Yes. So all along, that's
working
been
on
important,
that.
Yeah. And it's like a thing that I had to get really clear on is, for me, it, you know, reaching into my spiritual source. And that's, I speak very generally about that because I honor everybody's different, wherever they're at with that. It's very important. When I work with people, I don't question what their religion is or whatever. They can share whatever is
critical.
Because I make it easy for them when we work on deep issues.
Which yes.
To go there. Forgiveness is a spiritual issue.
Right. Because I know my youngest sister had bladder cancer, and she was a smoker, I might add. No one else, my parents were smokers, but, you know, it's having that connection. And I think it's, she never did give up smoking, I might add. And that was very heartbreaking to me. But we all make choices. You know, we have to make the choices that best sit with us and serve our needs at the moment as we're going through this. And so she just did not give up smoking. I remember being in the room with her when she went back. She had a surgery, had her bladder taken out, had they used the small intestine to fashion a new bladder, and she had a lot of incontinence, and it was not a very successful surgery. But, you know, I was sitting there, and I just looked at the doctor, and I said, "What do you think is the cause?" You know, just trying to look very innocent, of bladder cancer. And he said, "Smoking." Then he kind of got a message from me, and he looked at my sister, and he said, "Don't tell me you're still smoking." And, of course, she had to admit to the answer, yes. So I, you know, but it's a choice. She made that choice, and there you go. That is a choice. And you made a different kind of choice.
Yes. And bringing up the family, that's a really interesting,
critical.
That's always a very important dynamic there. And it's very hard for the patient, and it's hard for the family, especially when there's different points of view. And I've been on both sides of it because I lost my second husband to cancer.
So you have been through all parts of it.
Yes.
Your own self. And you've had cancer twice?
I had the same cancer all along. I was sort of went into
remission?
Semi-remission.
Kind of thing. Okay.
It went in and out of remission over the years.
Okay.
And I did go through stage 4 two different incidences where it went into one lung, got that cleared out, then it went into the other one.
Okay.
And so,
now, you weren't a smoker, I'm assuming.
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, I was not. I was like one of these people, like, how can it happen to somebody like her? She's so healthy, health conscious. Well, I didn't always eat the best. I did indulge in, you know, pastries and coffee and stuff like that. But I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I ate very little meat. But I think in my case, a lot of it was emotional.
Okay. You know, that makes it the forgiveness part, the emotional roller coaster that we all have some experience with in our lives, you know. And so that was a good thing. Now, you have moved to Maui, you said 6 years ago, was it?
Yes.
Okay, and you moved here because you had family, you felt you could be in the loving arms of your family.
Right, yeah, I was in sort of a transitional space at the time after my husband died, and then I stayed with his mother and took care of her, and then when she passed away, my mother was then under hospice care here on Maui.
Oh, boy.
And so I came over here to help take care, and I decided to move here.
Well, that was, see, again, you've had, I mean, usually in every family, there's at least some experience with cancer. And I remember as a home health nurse in Cambridge, Massachusetts, this was in the 60s, I might add. And, you know, people were, at that time, when someone had a cancer diagnosis, people were afraid to kiss them. They thought they might catch cancer. Hmm. And, you know, that kind of fast forward into the AIDS epidemic. And again, people were afraid they might catch something. And, but nevertheless, every family has had, and every person has some experience with dealing with cancer in one way or the other, either personally, the family member, a dear friend, neighbor, somebody they have known has had cancer.
Yes.
And it sounds like you've had more than your share.
Well, in my family, my mother had Parkinson's.
Okay.
So my mother and dad passed away from different things. But
uh-huh.
Also, I have a sister and a brother who have been dealing with cancer. The brother caught the prostate cancer early, and so he's doing
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Did he have surgery?
I don't recall. I think he had radiation.
Radiation. Because there's so many. That's really something that I'm looking forward to having Peter join me very soon when he's back in town, back on island, because I think it's not talked about enough, men's health and prostate cancer, because it's very prevalent usually an older man. I mean, older, I mean, you know, 40s maybe. And young men have to deal with testicular cancer from the ages of like 16, 18, up to 35. And so, but I never hear people talking about it, you know, I used to do a lot of physicals on young men who were in group homes, you know, teenagers. And I'd teach them how to do testicular exam. I mean, they'd laugh and think it was funny, but I was very serious because they needed to know how to feel a testicle and feel if there was a lump and immediately bring it to someone's attention. And I haven't really seen a lot of that happening since, but it's so critical because it goes testicular cancer risk onto prostate cancer. And so Peter and I will have a very good conversation like we're having about prostate cancer in the future. So I look forward to that. So, wow. So you've had a lot of family dealing with issues.
Yeah.
As such. Wow. That's amazing. So, so you came to Maui, you joined the Pink Paddlers, yes. And Mary Dungans is a marvelous, wonderful person. She's been on the show. And so tell me the experience you had with Pink Paddlers.
Well, I got invited to paddle. I met some people at a book signing. That was an author, Pasha Hogan is her name. She wrote a book called Three Times Lucky.
Okay. There you go.
So as a cancer survivor, so that's her story, that's her book. And she was here on island for a while, and now I think she's living back in New York. But while she was here, she was paddling with the Pinks. So when I went to her book signing, because I heard about this cancer survivor with this book, right? And there were some other people who were also members of the Pinks that were there to support her with her book signing. And I got to meet them and said, yeah, I'm a survivor too. I'd like to meet you, Pasha. And all this. And it's like, oh, why don't you come and paddle with us on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings? First time, I was hooked. It's a wonderful group. We just go out there. We have fun. We enjoy life.
It's I heard they have good food there after the paddle.
We do. We do. And if you don't feel up to paddling and you still want to meet us, you know, if you're one of these people that are interested in joining, and especially as survivors or someone going through it, because so you may not feel like you're up to getting into the canoe and going out on the water, then come for our treats afterwards.
That's exactly what Mary's invited people to do.
And even if you don't want to paddle, but you can, we can still, we have had people start out where we have helped them into the boat. Literally, and let them sit and ride with us. Because just to get people out on the water and just feel that healing energy of the water is just amazing.
I can imagine. I've done some paddling, and I'm really anxious. Now the water and the weather are so much better of going down to the Pink Paddlers on a Tuesday or Thursday morning. Because it's at 7:30 you're supposed to get there, is it?
Well, it's good to get there by 7:45 if you're coming for the first time. So we give you your paperwork, you sign in, and then we get you a paddle, and we give you a lesson.
Okay, and,
yeah,
so you
we go
be there
out. Yeah, and we
early.
Go out. Yeah, be there early if it's your first time, especially. We have a cutoff time at 8:00, absolutely. But being there early, you're more likely to not get bumped off if we have too many people and not enough people to steer the canoes.
Yeah, and you need the steer.
Yeah, we need the steers people. So come on down because we, like, by 7:45, and then we go out at about 8:15, and we go out for an hour. And it's a pretty easy paddle. We take a lot of breaks when we accommodate people who are not as strong, right? We have a lot of beginners. We have a lot of first-time people. We just have fun. And while we're out there, we have a special thing we do where we raft the boats together. And we do a prayer together, just a little moment of silence just to acknowledge those of us that can't be there with us because of going through cancer and other
treatment or maybe be on an off day.
Some of our members are going through treatment, and we think of them. We think about our family members and our friends. And so it's very special to do that out on the water.
I can only imagine, especially if you see whales and turtles and
yes.
Wow. Pretty magnificent.
Yes.
So what we're going to do, let me see what time it is. It's going to be about a minute. And what we're going to do is we're going to get into talking about the six keys of empowerment. First, we're going to go into a break. This is 88.5 FM, the Nurse Practitioner Show. I'm Mary Margaret Baker, and with me today, I have Rita Massey, who is going to, in the next half of our show, talk about the six keys to empowerment for healing. And so I think that's the critical point, which I think you want to be able to tune into and stay tuned in to hear this. So, thank you.
Hawaii Youth Service Directory is online at 808youth.com. We envision a Hawaii where all youth are connected to the support they need to walk a pono path towards health, happiness, and abundance. 808youth.com is a free, easy-to-use online directory funded by the Office of Youth Services. If you're looking for a family-friendly event, check out our events calendar and connect with us on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
They say that car crashes happen in slow motion. The reality is that crashes happen fast. There's no time to think and no time to check if your child is in the right car seat. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your kids in the right seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Get more info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here we are. We're back with the Nurse Practitioner Show. And thank you for joining us again. This is Mary Margaret Baker, and I'm a nurse practitioner. And this is the Nurse Practitioner Show on health, wellness, and managing your disease. With us today, we have Rita Massey, and we're going to go into talking about the six keys of
six keys to empower healing.
There's a program that she runs, and she's going to have a workshop coming up in June, and we're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about, because you went through the process that since 1996, you've moved to Maui 6 years ago, and in the process of moving here, you've had some introspective examination of what you actually, the process you went through. So why don't we talk about those keys?
Okay.
So the first one is what?
The first key is to assess your life, and it feels like it needs to be up a little more.
No, it's up. Yeah, you can turn up your own if you want.
Okay, checking.
Yeah, there you go. Let's just talk about the six keys to empowered healing.
So the six keys to empowered healing, I really took time out to feel out what really made the difference for me in my healing, my ability to heal. And so it's a process, but it's also kind of an organic, like I have it in order, but it's not necessarily in that order.
So your experience could be different, but the keys are one that will help you get to the point of healing.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So that's important to understand. You don't have to be rigid, but you have to cover all the points, it sounds like.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one or one of the first things you want to do.
Well, the first one is to assess your life. So you want to take stock. That's your life, your health. That's better.
There we go. Okay, so there's the six keys to empowered healing. And the first one is assessing your life.
Assessing your life so that you take stock and you see what's working in your life, what's working and what's not working, what's working with your body, what's not working. And so it's all about getting clarity. And you may even begin to ask questions like, what will it take for me to heal? What is behind all of this?
Right.
And what do I need to do to get better?
So it's what we're talking about is internal questions.
Internal questions.
And you may have questions for your clinical person as well, but what you're doing now is you're examining your own interior, asking yourself these questions.
Right. Absolutely, yes. And then you can bring what the doctor has to say into that context so that you can start to really make sense of a fuller picture.
Okay. And when you get those answers, then you start implementing, it sounds like.
Yes. So one of the first things you want to do is cultivate support, what I call cultivate support. So you bring in people who can be there for you, that can have your back. So that's also choosing your professional help, your practitioners, your clinicians,
family,
as well as your
friends,
family, friends. Some
support
people,
group.
Yeah, all of that. And there are people in your life who may not be able to be there for you in the way you need them to be there. And it's not about making them wrong. You may have to take time out from certain relationships. That's one thing to look at. And I had to do that, and everything came around later on. But I had to be very selfish. I had to set really strong, firm boundaries so that
what
I could...
What served you best?
What served me best?
You know, the boundaries of what served you best.
Right.
To stay within that you felt you were meeting your personal needs.
Right. Because a lot of people with cancer were the kind of people that are so busy making everybody else's world okay for them.
Right. So
that
now
we neglect our own. And so this is kind of like bringing back into balance what we've been neglecting in our own lives.
Good. Yes.
That we are important too. And we can't really be there for other people if we're not there for ourselves.
Yes.
We can't be fully there.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
So then you do a self-examination, ask the questions, create and identify your support group, where you're going to be.
Your support
your
system.
Your team.
Your team.
Your team. Okay. And then what's the next thing?
The next thing is that then you make your choices. And you make your choices from an empowered place. So that place that you tap into deep inside, that inner truth, that's what's real. That's the key is to go into there and not go by because running on your fear. Sometimes the doctors are more scared than you are. And they also have, you know, with their training, it's like these are the options, A, B, and C. Well, there's more to healing than what the medical
model
mm-hmm. puts out there.
Yes.
And so I don't, you know, personally, I have a hard time with doctors making the pronouncement, you're going to be dead in X amount of time, right?
In 3 months
in
or
3 months or 6 months.
Or 2 years or something like
yeah,
that. Yeah.
Because I believe that there's like a greater reality, greater possibilities. We don't really know. And no one can play God like that.
Yes.
So as long as you can say, well, it looks, you know, chances are or whatever, but... Who knows?
Who knows?
Leave the door open.
Leave that door open, exactly.
Leave the door open. And for people who are wanting to hear, if I had just gone by what the statistics would show, I wouldn't be here still.
Well, since 1996, 2006, 2016, and here we are 22 years later.
Yes.
And you're Pink Paddler. You're training classes for people who have questions to ask and who you feel like you can support and bring them information that may be helpful for their empowerment. So let's talk about the keys, and then we'll go to the workshop. But what about the blocks? That was one I thought was most interesting in your keys.
Yes, because that's after you've gotten your support system, you're making your choices, then you want to look into eliminating the blocks that keep you from healing. And that's where you're going to ask yourself some very serious questions. And maybe some questions that are uncomfortable, because we don't want to look at what we love about our illness. And that's a good question to ask. What do you love about having cancer? What is that hidden payoff? So in asking these questions, it's what you want to do is bring up awareness with the question more than getting set answers.
A specific answer.
Because the awareness brings up, a lot of times it brings up a feeling, sometimes that funny feeling in there, that,
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, on one level.
I'm not getting a payoff. here I am, I'm dying. How can that be a payoff?
Right. But at the same time, that question can catch some place inside of you going, oh. And that's what you pay attention to, because there are things going on deep inside. Another question you might put out, and actually, this I'm going to be very
blunt.
Okay. And this may sound really crazy and heavy, but the question that came for me to ask myself was, what are you killing yourself over?
Okay, that's a big, heavy question.
That was one that really, I believe, when I started working with that one, I started to turn things around.
Okay.
I had to turn around the deep self-hatred. This person, me, I had to forgive.
The big one.
The big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to forgive other people in my past. I also have to forgive me and learn to love me. That's so important.
Well, and it's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. So many people have a lot of guilt, and they beat themselves up and don't give themselves any credit or space to be imperfect.
And this guilt and that perfectionism is something that we need to give up. We don't think of that as a fault, right? We think about all of these other things, right? But that's one that keeps us more trapped in not only being sick, but a lot of our negative behaviors that we're beating ourselves up about. If we get into this guilt train with it, we can't pull out of it.
It's a downward spiral.
Yes,
it's a downward spiral.
Yes.
The joy and attitude of love for yourself, I think, is really important. And as you found in your own journey, that was very important for you. So now, let's see, that's four. Is that four keys?
That's four keys,
okay,
yeah.
Where are we at number five?
Number five is called Stay the Course. Dealing with a disease like cancer, it's the long run.
You go the long way to do it.
It's the long run because even if you're, quote, over it in no time or whatever, and they say you're clear, your margins are clear, how long are you going to sit there wondering when it's going to come back? And then some people have the issue where it is coming back. How do you keep your head up over all this time? Because it's like this sort of Damocles hanging over you. That's the way it was for me all those years.
Like, when is it going to happen again?
Yeah.
When is it going to raise its ugly face
again? It
was
always nagging in the back of my mind.
Uh-huh.
So you have to keep this mental strength. So what are your daily practices?
Okay, what is your routine?
Daily routine.
That helps support you taking care of yourself.
Do you have a spiritual practice? A spiritual practice might just be taking a walk in the woods every day.
Meditating.
It can be meditating, praying, whatever is your thing to connect to the higher reality, the greater reality.
Maybe a certain diet. Some people like, they've found certain foods are eliminated with women and people with cancer, like a lot of sugar, going sugar-free. I know that's one of the things I've read about.
Yeah, those are all these things. There's so many layers to it. And it takes a certain level of discipline, and that kind of discipline that's really self-love, like, is this sugar going to be good for me? But then to be so strict that you can't have birthday cake now
indulge.
And then.
Yeah.
But from the day in, day out, what are you doing every day to take care of yourself, take good care of yourself? Are you getting rest? Are you getting exercise?
And I think one of the big things, being a very busy, having in my past life, very, very busy life, I think slowing down.
Yes.
Smelling the roses, enjoying every day in a different way or the same way that if you enjoy it, hey, go for it. Tuesdays and Thursdays, it may be paddling.
Right.
That's a joyful experience or whatever. So, yes.
And that gets into the last one, which is to savor your life. So savor your life is enjoy the moments. And there's something about when you have had this, I'll speak for myself, having had that kind of death threat on me,
it's really like a monkey on your back.
It made me, though, really appreciate all the small moments in life and how beautiful they are. and not to take it for granted. And yes, to go and do things that are fun and have things to look forward to. It's really important to create things, put things out there, put the carrot out there for you to look forward to, especially when you're going through a treatment. You got to sort of like lay low because you're not feeling good because of going through a treatment. What do you look forward to afterwards?
What's something you could do special for yourself? Maybe get
right.
a massage.
Yeah.
You know, here you are.
But you might want to take a trip or you know, for me, when I was in California, we have these beautiful mountains to hike up. It's like, I want to go and hike up Mount Whitney. Well, that never quite happened for other reasons, but it was one of the things I had on my list to do, and it was one of the things that motivated me to keep going.
To keep going. You have to keep giving yourself that carrot.
Something, yes.
A goal. A goal.
Goals are wonderful.
Yeah. So maybe you do one goal and just think about it, you get over the hump. Now, you did mention you did take some tamoxifen for a period of time, and that's often an adjunct therapy for women with breast cancer.
Yes.
And so, but you are no longer on it.
No, because at some point that wasn't working for me anymore anyway.
So you take it for a period of time.
And yeah, and some people get side effects. I was one of the odd people that...
I didn't.
I'm odd because I have a hard time with aspirin. Okay, I mean, I'm weird about, like, when it comes to drugs and medications, I'm really sensitive to most of them. And that was something that, I don't know.
It worked.
So
it worked
one until of the things I learned about on my journey is just the mystery of everything. And you just roll with what
comes up.
What comes up and what's going to work and...
And
just
it may change
that.
Over the course of
yes.
your journey. It sounds like things have changed since 1996 and up to
oh,
today,
yes.
22 years later.
And what
would you say is the biggest change for you during this journey?
The biggest change, I'd say, is really lightening up.
Yeah, some people you get.
I have a great sense of humor that I didn't have when I started out.
Okay, so you like having fun and laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have a very serious.
Side.
Persona, I think, you know, but underneath it now there's a lot more laughter.
Great. Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
Yeah, and I think it's just being easier on myself.
I think that's a very key, important thing I find for myself being somewhat of a serious person. And the person that helps me a lot is my husband, who's very funny. And so it helps lighten me up. And I appreciate that about him. Now, you're going to be doing a workshop. Now, tell me, let's talk about your workshop. That's coming up soon in early June.
Yes. I'll be doing a little workshop that we'll be playing around with some of these tools and some of the six keys, and we'll be playing around with the questions and how to clear the blocks, actually get in there and really work with that a little bit. So it's a taster. So it goes... It'll be Wednesday, June 6th from 5:30 to 7, and it'll be at the 808 Wellness Center in Kihei on South Kihei Road. If you know where Cafe Olay is, it's in the same building and upstairs toward the back behind the restaurant.
Behind the restaurant?
You go up the stairs.
Okay, you go up the stairs, which is kind of mid-building.
Right.
And once you go around the bend, I've been up the stairs to get to the restaurant, but I didn't realize there was a... 808 Wellness was
there. Yeah, and there's a set of stairs, same size as the building as the stairs going up to the restaurant, but it's in the center of the building.
Yes.
And then you go, and once you get up there, then you
go left
rather than right toward the restaurant.
Because if you go right, you're in Cafe Olay, and if you go left, you're in the 808 Wellness.
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to kind of look. Is there a sign out there on the building?
Oh, yeah. There's very good signage on the building, yes.
Okay.
And the address is 2439 South Kihei Road.
Okay, but I think most people do know where
Cafe
Olay is.
Yes.
And there's going to be a $10 fee, which is so minimum, really.
Yes.
For opening your eyes and ears and your heart to empowering your own healing.
Yes.
It's totally... just helping you rent the space, I would guess.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, this
yeah.
is just to get people a taste of what I do. And I do offer a one-on-one program.
Okay.
For people who would be really interested in working with me more intensely. And it also includes doing a distance Reiki session, or if you're here on island, we can do it also in person.
Okay, so Reiki, these are all healing modalities that you can expose yourself to, experience, and again, see what works for you, I think is really good. Let's see where we're at with time.
Okay.
We have about a minute left.
Okay, and just to say really quickly, too, is that I think in the near future, I'm thinking of doing group programs as well.
Okay, that sounds
like a... So we're doing the six keys thing. A group program maybe in the works.
Okay.
Keep us
tuned in. I'll let people know.
Okay.
And this is the Nurse Practitioner Show, and we're on KAKU 88.5, The Voice of Maui. I'm Mary Margaret Baker, NP, and with me today, I've had a wonderful conversation with Rita Massey about the six keys to empowering healing.
Yes.
Is that right? Did I say it right?
Six keys to empowered healing. And you can visit my website, sixkeystohealcancer.com, and that's six with the number six.
Okay.
Sixkeystohealcancer.com.
And you put out sayings and inspirational thoughts, which I think is really critical. If people are interested in keeping tuned in that way.
Yes, you can join my email list, and I have written articles on forgiveness and things like that, just coming from a lot from personal experience.
Your personal experience.
As well as letting you know what's going on.
Very good. So next week, we'll be here. We'll also be a repeat of this show on Friday, this Friday from 3 to 4. That's the 25th. And then next week, we'll have another show. So what we're going to do is we're talking about this. Let's see if something's off. Here we are. We're back again, the Nurse Practitioner Show, for a few more minutes. I thought we were done. We still have a few more minutes here. So anyway, again, KAKU 88.5, the Nurse Practitioner Show, and I'm Mary Margaret Baker on health, wellness, and managing your disease. With me today, again, we have Rita Massey, and so we're talking about her workshop that's coming up in the beginning of June. And I think the topic of empowering, six keys to empowering healing for you. And I think if you have cancer, I guess the whole thing would still work with any chronic disease.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's something to think about. It's not just for cancer, but she's used the process. So maybe what we could do is take a couple of minutes here and do a process. Like, is there something, there's some thing that we could experience for people on the show?
I think one thing a process I'd really like to do is actually, maybe not, because I was thinking of something that if people are driving, it may not be the best.
No, but if you're driving, pull over. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this one is actually kind of like an expansion exercise. So even if you're driving, you can still practice it while keeping your awareness on the road. But just bring yourself into like the center of your being. At the same time, you have the awareness if you're in the middle of something or you're driving. And just allow your awareness to expand out.
Well, do you start
from
with
your
deep
body?
Breathing?
If the breathing is a really nice way to center into your body.
Okay.
And start with the awareness of your body and just feel where your body is having contact with, where you're sitting, standing. And then start to expand your awareness out beyond your body.
What does that mean?
So as if you're expanding, we are infinite beings that we kind of live in a body, but we're not limited to the body.
Okay, that's a good way of putting it.
We're not limited to the body, so we can actually expand out into the universe. But you start from your body, you go out into the room or into the vehicle, and you're out wherever you are. Moving out through the town, out through the island, out through the country where you are, and the whole earth. So you're not going out, up, and down. Like
just expanding.
Spherically expanding through the solar system, into the galaxy, the universe. So just bigger and bigger and bigger. And even as your eyes are wide open, in a way, you can be even more aware of your immediate surroundings as you need to be, because this is about awareness, and it's expanding your whole being out there.
I like to close my eyes, so I'm closing my eyes.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, is to close your
and
eyes.
And not if you're driving.
And now you can pull energy. Now that you've gotten this awareness of the whole universe, you can start to invite and draw energy into your being. And if you have a situation you want to deal with in particular, you kind of set that like right there in front of you, as if it's in your hands or on your lap, and you pull the energy into it. You draw the energy into everything, you invite everything into it that's going to support what you want to create with this thing that you're creating, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your relationships. So just bring more and more and more energy in, more and more in, and just drawing it from the entire universe. And then trickle out some energy to all those points, those beings, those resources, those people that can receive your gifts and have gifts for you. You trickle out to them. And then you just pull in even more from the whole universe. Even more you pull in. And then trickle out.
So it's an exchange.
It's an exchange. The drawing in is more. And this is really also an exercise in receiving. A lot of us have shut down our capacity to receive. And receiving is really important to heal.
Exchanging of that, I think, too. The giving and the taking. The giving and the taking.
Yes.
Expanding and contracting.
It's not so much contracting. You're staying expanded.
And then
you're in the flow.
Out.
The trickle out is like an invitation to those that want to play with you, that want to dance with you.
Okay.
Those beings out there, or resources, or whatever that the universe has for you, just waiting for you.
Okay, and then how do you come back in?
How do you come back in? You just slowly bring yourself back.
And do that. Can you lead them back in?
I'm sorry?
Can you lead them back in?
Can lead the people back in?
Back into their center.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to leave them out there floating.
Well, you're not quite floating. You're also in you, too. You're expanding, but you're not leaving anywhere. You're just growing bigger, in a sense. And
okay.
Your awareness is growing bigger. But it includes you and your body. It includes, that's why I was saying, if you are driving, you can do it open-eyed in a way. And sometimes I do. I have a moment. I'm sitting.
I get a light.
Yeah. Yeah. Sitting at a light, you could do it very easily.
Okay.
Just at a moment, you know, any time. And that it's actually a very calming thing to do, because when you get that perspective of filling the universe and the awareness of the universe, your problems get small.
Exactly. So we're
and the possibilities of how you can deal with them.
Magnify.
Yes.
So here we are. We are at the correct time, honing in on 2:57, and Rita Massey's with us. She's just led us through a process of bringing in energy and sharing energy with people in your team. And 88.5 FM, the Nurse Practitioner Show. Please tune in next week, and on Friday we'll have a repeat of this show, but next week we'll have another show, Monday 2 to 3. So thank you so much for joining us, and off we go to our day of healing.